Wisconsin is more than a month out from our April election. The state's election day amid the pandemic made national headlines, with many people scrambling to cast their ballots by mail. And tomorrow, voters in northern Wisconsin will go to the polls to vote for their next representative in a special congressional election. Now, with medical experts warning of a second wave of the novel coronavirus this fall, voting by mail, also known as absentee voting, is becoming a nationwide debate. Voting rights groups and many Democrats want to see more people have the ability to vote by mail, but Republicans and the president are resisting that push. Several states have had success with universal vote-by-mail systems. Emily Bazelon is a staff writer at New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School. She's also author of the book Charged, The New Movement to Transform American Prosecution and End Mass Incarceration. She recently wrote about the growing attention being paid to absentee voting. Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, looking ahead to November, we've got an election, of course, a big one, and the risk of this second wave. What kind of questions are people asking about what this November election is going to look like?
Well, one thing that's important about a big national election is you have to plan for it in advance. And so the people who are thinking ahead prudently are imagining a world in which people are still worried about going to the polls in the same numbers that they have in the past because of the threat of the pandemic. And according to a survey that the Pew Research Center did recently, about two-thirds of Americans think that it's very possible that the virus will disrupt the normal election process. So then you have a move by some states to try to increase the number of people voting by mail. And this is, you know, an obvious tactic to try because it means that people are voting from home, which would be safer if the pandemic is still with us. And secondarily, you have a conversation about trying to make the polls as safe as possible by having more early voting, which would reduce crowding, and then also having the kind of protective equipment and disinfecting and social distancing that we've gotten used to from the rest of our lives.
Let's get into mail-in voting. You cover this a lot in this big piece you wrote on elections in the U.S. during the pandemic. It's easy for me to say, let's vote by mail, let's have everybody or a lot more people vote by mail. But in your piece, you talk about the logistical challenges. A lot of things have to happen before we exponentially increase the number of people who vote by mail in this country. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I mean, Wisconsin has more experience with this kind of dramatic increase than any state, because in your primary in April, in your election, what happened was that the state went from previously about 3% of people requesting absentee ballots to more than 70%. And that just puts a huge strain on the whole system, right? It means that basically election officials have to create and increase the volume of a new system for voting. So there are supply chain issues, like the same ones we've had with creating enough ventilators or producing enough tests, this issue the country's still struggling with. Well, if you talk to the vendors who produce ballots and envelopes, all of that process, you need to have machinery in place for it to really, really ramp up production. And you need time to plan. So I was talking to someone who runs a bulk mail business, and he was pointing out that if he was going to get a new machine that would fold the ballots and put them into the envelopes, he would need to spend $1 million. And he would need to order that machine pretty much now or in the next few weeks in order to have it in line in time to print those ballots. Well, he's not going to spend money on that machine unless he has orders coming in from cities and states across the country. And yet a lot of those places are worried about paying for this increase in vote by mail because Congress has only so far appropriated a small fraction of the money that people think it's going to cost.
That brings up another big point. However, local and state governments respond to this, whether it's more voting by mail or more safety at the polling places, that costs money, and these same governments are already strained by declining tax revenue. Can you talk about the financial crunch facing state and local governments trying to ramp up their elections?
Yeah, I mean, state and local governments have been under such financial pressure across the country. They are facing this huge decline in tax revenues because of all the curtailments on business right at the moment when they're also on the hook for paying for more things. The Brennan Center for Justice at New York University estimates that the cost of truly preparing for this election in the pandemic or with the threat of the pandemic is about $4 billion across the country. That includes all the primary elections still to come this summer and the cost mostly of November. So far, Congress has only pledged $400 million. So $400 million out of $4 billion, that's not very much. And there's a big push by hundreds of civil rights groups and public interest groups to get that money flowing, but that has not happened yet.
We are talking about voting in the United States during a pandemic. Emily Bazelon is with us from New York Times Magazine. She wrote a big piece on issues related to voting and the ongoing illness. You can join in at 800-642-1234. By the way, what, if any, kind of changes would you like to see between now and, say, November Election Day? More voting by mail options? Did you try to vote by mail? Had trouble doing it last time around? Call 800-642-1234. Emily, we've touched on a couple of the obstacles to voting by mail, the logistics, the cost. There's also political pushback. What is going on with the debate over whether we should want to expand vote by mail?
You know, this is sort of strange. It's become very polarized, with Democrats asking for Congress to fund this election at a greater level and talking about the importance of access to the ballot, and federal Republicans in Washington opposing that request. There are certainly Republican state officials, including the folks who run elections in states like Iowa and Ohio and New Hampshire, who are asking for this money and saying we want as many people to vote as possible. But the Republican Party in Washington has taken a stance against it. And there was this telling moment about a month ago where President Trump said that the Democrats' request would bring up levels of voting to a point that Republicans wouldn't be able to win. Now, that's called saying the quiet part out loud, because usually people who oppose expanding the franchise, expanding voting, say, well, it's going to promote fraud. There is a fear, however, among some Republicans that simply increasing or allowing for turnout is bad for them, like that they will lose elections if more people vote. The funny thing is that the social science does not match up with that conclusion. In states that have switched to universal voting by mail, there has been no partisan effect. It has not helped Republicans. It has not helped Democrats. It has modestly boosted turnout.
I want to give a listen to President Trump raising another concern. He has called expanding absentee voting corrupt. The day after Wisconsin's April primary, here's what he had to say about it.
And if you send something in, you should be sure, as a state and as a country, you should be sure that that vote is meaningful. And it's not just made fraudulently, because there's a lot of fraudulent voting going on in this country.
Now, what do we know about fraudulent voting, especially when it comes to voting by mail?
The idea that voter fraud in America is widespread is a myth. It's just simply not true, especially for in-person voting. Now, absentee balloting, there have been problems in the past in certain parts of the country, particularly the Southeast or some big cities like Philadelphia or Miami. It's not common. It has happened on occasion. What's interesting is that the states that have the strongest histories of voting by mail, where the most people do it, they don't have a problem with voter fraud. They have figured out how to do this securely.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about states that are currently voting by mail, I think exclusively. Can you tell us who's doing that and how it's working?
Yeah, there are five states that have what we call universal vote by mail. So those states are Utah, which leans Republican, some states that lean Democratic, Hawaii, Oregon, and Washington, and then Colorado, which has commonly elected statewide officials from both parties. So you see there the lack of a partisan effect. What universal vote by mail means is that every registered voter receives a ballot in the mail. They don't have to return it via the post office. Like, they can do that. They can put a stamp on it, or sometimes the states will pay for the return postage. There also are secure drop-off boxes around town where you can put your ballot. And then the third option is to return it to an in-person polling site, because all these states keep some polling centers open. Those are for people who don't have a stable mailing address, and we may have more of those people in November if the economic downturn continues and there's more mobility as a result of it. And then there are also people with certain disabilities like blindness who need assistance at a polling site to vote.
You mentioned the U.S. Postal Service, and that's another wrinkle you throw into your piece, uncertainty about its future, really.
Yeah, so the Postal Service is warning that it could run out of money at the end of September. It needs funding from Congress. This has unfortunately become another polarized issue where Democrats are saying, yes, let's fund the post office, and Republicans are balking. In a way, that seems odd again, because the post office is particularly important in rural communities. The reason the post office is having financial problems, there are two reasons. One is it's another fallout effect from the virus, because first class mail and package delivery is down by 30%. So even though people are relying a lot on home delivery, that is not making up for the shortfall. And the second reason is this weird burden imposed on the post office, which is that it was given in 2006. Congress said the post office has to fund its pension plan 75 years out into the future, fully fund it. This is not something that any government agency has to do. Like the Pentagon, it's pay as you go. That's true for other parts of the federal government. If the post office didn't have this 75-year pension burden, it would actually not be in the red. So that's an extra kind of yoke around the neck of the Postal Service.
We're talking to Emily Bazelon, staff writer for the New York Times Magazine, about the role absentee voting could play in the November elections. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see Wisconsin and other states expand the ability to vote by mail? Should all voters have access to an absentee ballot if they want it? Should they be automatically mailed to all voters? Do you have potential problems or concerns you see with that system? And are you worried about the presidential election being impacted by coronavirus and a possible second wave in the fall? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about absentee voting around the country and the role it could play in November with Emily Bazelon from the New York Times Magazine. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Wisconsin should do more to give people the chance to vote by mail? What challenges do you see coming along with that? Do you think it's going to be important in the November elections? If you work in local elections as a clerk or a poll worker, love to hear from you, your reactions to last month's election in the state, what you hope for, what you fear come November. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Jerry is with us in Waukesha. Jerry, hello.
Yeah, hello.
What'd you want to bring up, Jerry?
I want to tell you what I think and what most of the normal American citizens think about vote by mail. Vote by mail is for people that are disabled in a wheelchair, and that's probably 1 or 2% of the entire population. Vote by mail is for people that don't want to go to the polls because they want to vote three times. Vote by mail, if it's ever approved, that'll require a hand count and a hand verification of every vote that comes in. The mail carriers can't be trusted. That's already been proven. So it'll have to be done a different way, maybe by the FBI or the CIA, and pick up the large cloth bags with the...
Jerry, I got you. You gave us a lot to work with already there. First of all, Jerry's saying this should be just for people with a disability who can't vote. And in many cases, that's, Emily, been how absentee is, vote by mail has been used, right?
Well, it's true that there are a bunch of states where in the past, the rate of absentee balloting has been below 10%, not just for people with disabilities, people who are traveling, elderly people use it at a higher rate. It's also true that across the whole country in 2018, the rate of voting by mail was 25%. So we already have a significant number of people doing this. We just don't have most people doing it.
And Jerry raising the concern of people voting multiple times with absentee ballots. What do we know about that?
I mean, like I said before, there have been instances of absentee ballot fraud. The best known example was in a race for Congress in North Carolina in 2018, where a Republican candidate hired someone who went around and picked up ballots and maybe filled them in when they weren't, or maybe even threw some of them away. So it is possible. And one of the ways that states can prevent that from happening is having a limit on the number of ballots that anyone can turn in for someone else. So some states have laws like only someone in your family can turn in your ballot. Some states say someone can only pick up 10 ballots that don't belong to them. The rate of fraud in states like Colorado and Washington that have been doing this for about a decade is very, very low. That's what all the officials there say. So I think that kind of mistrust is pretty misplaced.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. We also heard from Patsy on Facebook who said, I'm all for mail-in voting. My daughter lives in Oregon, the state, not Oregon, the Wisconsin community, and they do it all the time. Emily, a couple different perspectives on there on what the public thinks about mail-in voting. Do we have, I don't know, is there polling or a sense of what people across America think about the idea of more mail-in voting?
You know, I think it's one of those things where once you get used to it, it just becomes normal. And like your caller's daughter, I think she said, like people get used to it. And most people like it because it's super convenient, right? I mean, I was thinking about this myself. I live in Connecticut. You have to have an excuse to get an absentee ballot. I did it once. It was kind of a pain. But this year, the Secretary of State, because of the virus, is going to send every registered voter an application for an absentee ballot. And once I get it, it'll take me 5 minutes to deal with it, as opposed to going and standing in line at our polling place, which, you know, I kind of like doing that. It's my moment of democratic participation. But in a general election, it can take like an hour more to stand in line. I'm not eager to go stand in a long line if the pandemic is still a threat. And I think a lot of Americans feel that way.
We're talking to Emily Bazelon with New York Times Magazine, looking at voting in the United States during the pandemic, efforts to expand voting by mail. Back to your calls now. Lisa is with us in Milwaukee. Lisa, hi.
Hello. My issue has to do with receiving absentee ballots at a post office box, which are not cheap, but I do pay for my own security, because mailboxes, contrary to what most people seem to assume, are not really secure. People can put their hands right into your metal box on the side of your house and take out whatever they please. Therefore, I have duct tape around my mailbox so that nothing can be put in there. And I would want to receive my ballot, for sure, at my post office box. Is this possible?
Lisa, thanks for the call. I know this has been an issue, how voting by mail systems handle with PO boxes. Is that something you've looked at, Emily?
You know, that is a great question, and I don't know what the answer is in Wisconsin. I think in some states you can receive a ballot through the post office, but I'm not sure about Wisconsin, and I don't want to give a wrong answer, so I'm just going to leave that one for someone more expert than me.
Well, I'm not more expert, but we'll try to figure that out, Lisa. I don't have an answer for you right now either, but thank you for calling in. I will go to Jeff now on the line in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, Rob. So this is a great debate. I think it's important for our society to have this debate. And I foresee 5-10 years from now where we're all going to get a national ID when we're born, like a Social Security number. And that ID would allow us to get a passport. Doesn't matter where you live in the United States. But then you are considered a national citizen, natural born citizen. And that opens doors because you are what your number is or whatever. And then if you have a national ID, doesn't matter how you get your ballot, because you can vote using your national ID wherever you live, and then it would be simple. I think we need to simplify this.
Jeff, thanks for the call. We don't have that system in place now, Emily, but how have the mail-in, universal mail-in states handled credentials, making sure voters are who they say they are and eligible to vote when they mail in a ballot?
Yeah, that's a great question. You're right. We don't have a national ID, for better or worse. And so what happens instead is that you have to register to vote. That usually means, you know, providing some state approved identification when you register, and usually like a piece of mail so that it's clear that you live at your address. The vote by mail states try really hard to keep their lists up to date, because it becomes really important to have current addresses for everybody. You can't just like rely on the poll worker to sort it out if you've moved. And so you have those lists, and then when people vote, they have to sign the ballot. They often also have to sign the outside of the envelope across the place where it seals. And that's another way of preventing fraud. And then the signatures are verified. And an earlier caller mentioned that someone has to look at all the ballots. In some states, it's true. Human beings do all that review to verify signatures. In other states, a machine does it. Wisconsin, I learned when I was reporting the story, actually doesn't have signature verification. You have a witness who signs the back of the envelope. And that's how you verify identity in your state.
And there's concern if we're socially isolating ourselves, some people not wanting to expose themselves to risk by bringing a witness in. Emily, we just have a few moments left. Do you get a sense that states are scrambling at this point to try to get ahead in November?
Yeah, I mean, from my reporting, this is really possible, right? Like, we can do this. South Korea just had a very successful election with the highest turnout in decades in the middle of the pandemic. America is perfectly capable of surmounting this logistical challenge, but we have to prepare and get on it. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in the same kind of late behind the eight ball position that we've been in responding to the pandemic in general. So I think this is very possible, but it's about thinking ahead and planning and being prepared.
Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Emily Bazelon is a staff writer at New York Times Magazine. She talked to us about the push for increased absentee voting for the November election, which medical experts warn could be happening during a second wave of COVID-19. You can still let us know what you think about Wisconsin and other states expanding vote by mail. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.